was on the market, which was called Cholera Drops, and it contained a little opium that at least it gave them some comfort. They didn't have the cramps. See, they get these terrible cramps, vomiting, and diarrhea. And they said because the sisters were not afraid, and no sister got sick, none of us got it, none of us. And we took care of thousands of people.
Who were the other sisters there when you were there?
The sisters who were there was Sister Christina. No, was Christina there that year? Yeah. Because, see, then we had to leave when the bombings got terrible. Sister Christina, Sister Mary Mark, Sister Rosario, Sister Magdalena, and myself.
Did all of you go out to the...
Oh, yes. Except now, Sister Mary Mark, yes, she would come out in the evening. Mary Mark's duties were the girls, and she, you know, she had charge of the girls that we had there. They were classed as orphans. And, like, she tried to keep them busy, and she didn't want them, you know, going out to the street or anything like that. But then she would come out in the evening. We would all go out. We had different districts. Sister Rosaria had a district, and Sister Magdalena and myself. And then Sister Christina would stay in the dispensary. And we would be out, like, in the mornings. And then in the... See, it was very warm weather. And in the afternoons, they didn't want us being exposed to the hot sun. They felt if we went out in the morning, and we were supposed to, but we never did it. When you first went there, they said everybody takes siesta, you know. But we didn't do it. We kept our dispensary open in the afternoon, and we would. Because there were a lot of soldiers concentrated in Zhejiang, and we would notify the officer that he could bring his men in the afternoon, and we would give them the injections. Mm-hmm. And we would inject all these soldiers with this cholera vaccine that we got.
Which soldiers were they? Were they the government?
Oh, they were Chinese. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And what were the different activities that went on in the mission besides the...
Well, we had a catechumenate, where, you know, for the people who came to study. And Sister Magdalena had charge of that. And then we had an orphanage, and we had our own school. Later on, we sent, when they began... opening their schools up and receiving more pupils, we sent our girls out to the public school. But we had a school, and Sister Rosario taught in the school, and we had a teacher. And then...
Why didn't the girls go to school at the public school at first?
Because it wasn't large enough. They didn't have enough. And then they began, see, this new life movement came in. And Madame John Kaisek, her idea was to educate everybody. And they had, you know, opened up. And girls weren't going to school. They would send the boys to school, but they wouldn't send the girls to school. Unless it was a family who could afford to have a tutor, you know, come and teach a girl. But then we felt that we should send our girls out to the public school, which we did. Because then, you know, there was a lot of patriotism among the people. And we thought, well, this would be better for us to do this than to have. And then, of course, we had to spend a lot of time studying ourselves, you know. We, you know, sisters will say, well, how long did it take you to pick up the language? You don't pick up the language. You study the language. And when you cease to study, you cease to become a missionary, I had a teacher from we had a teacher. I don't like to say I, because all of us studied. We had a teacher from the time we went there until the time we left.
Mm-hmm. Where did your teacher come from?
Right there, in St. John.
From,
yeah.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a male teacher at first. And then during the war, we had a lot of educated people who came in from Nanking, Shanghai, and places like that. And we met this very fine woman, and she also spoke English, although it wasn't always good to have somebody who spoke English teach you, because many times they were trying to learn English rather than teach you Chinese. But she wasn't that type. She was a real teacher. And how I met her, I was called to her house. Her husband was an officer, and he had his family here. See, the officers, they could come in with their families, and he had his family. I think they had two children, and I went in to take care of him when he was sick. Well, I just went that one day because the man was dying when I got there. And she was so distraught. And I kept going back to this woman, you know. And she did speak some English. So we got interested in her, and we had her teach at our school. And then Sister Christina said maybe we could get her to teach the sisters, and then she became our teacher. Now, she was a Christian.
Was she already a Christian?
Yes, she was already a Christian, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was community life like in the mission?
What do you mean?
What was it like for the sisters living together?
Well, we tried to... We followed the same rules that you had in the States. We had morning prayer, we had mass, and we had our spiritual reading together. And now, then it got like during the war, when our activities were so different, that your afternoon, you know, how we'd all meet later and have meditation and prayers, well, that had to be private. Because later on, things got so bad that it was decided, see, we had to get out of the city one summer after this terrible bombing. And the hospital was moved into a... it was just a mud hut, you know, with bark as a roof. And then we lived in, Father was able to get, you know, a couple of little Chinese homes. And we moved over there. It was on the other side of the river. And it was better for us because we knew they wanted to bomb the city. And we knew we were on the side where the airport was, that they were after that airport. And, of course, we were near the telegraph office and the post office. So we were very close to being bombed. And so we lived over there for the summer months, because on bad weather, you didn't have air raids, but on good weather, you had air raids. And then he decided that two sisters would go to the next mission, which it was in Zhejiang, and that would be a day's travel by sedan chair. There was no, well, you could go by boat, but sampan, but that would take you a day and a night. The coolies went faster than the boat would go. And Sister Christina and Sister Mary Mark went there, and they took the young children, and we had two blind women we kept and they took the two blind women with them, and they stayed down there. They were there. Were they there when the hospital was on? Oh, yeah. Well, then, during the winter months, we decided to move back because there were just the three of us, Sister Mary Mark and Sister Rosario and myself, and we decided that we didn't decide, the priest decided for us that, we could not stay over there, and we moved back to our house in the city, and Father got property, and we had you know, a better hospital. And we had this hospital, and things were going. Now the people at the hospital was a nothing like you would have here. You know, you took care of wounded soldiers, because the soldiers, if a soldier got sick, the army would leave him on the road, and if we would find them, or they would make their way to the mission. Everybody knew that if you came to the Catholic mission, you'd be taken care of. And we would bring them in. And then, well, we had some maternity cases there. I'm trying to figure out why he built, oh, the reason he built that hospital was because he felt that we needed more room, and it was all level, it was all on one, it was Chinese, and he had about one, two, three, he had about four buildings, and then on the property was a very fine dugout, you know. But we had to leave the city when there was an air raid alarm. See, we would stay in, but we were told we had to get out. And that, well, that was after that terrible bombing, yeah.
Where would you go?
We would just go across the river, lie out in the fields, stay out there until the all clear was given.
What about the other people in the mission, like the girls?
They would go, too. Now, it seems to me that we had, I'm trying to remember, you know, that's a good many years ago. I know that I was in the city all the time. We didn't see any of the sisters during the day, because Sister Rosario, I think she was on the other side of the river. I think we kept our school over there for the girls, for safety. And Sister Magdalena, she had the catechumenate. She was teaching. But we still went out and visited the sick, you know.
Was this part of the Japanese and Chinese when they were at war?
At war. It was the Sino-Japanese conflict.
Was this like the beginning of World War II?
It was the beginning of World War II.
I wanted to ask you, was the long march when the sisters had to leave after they hadn't been there a year, the first group, was that the beginning of the long march?
In 27, yes. Oh, yes. That's the march had already started. And as this march, as time went on, why, they began getting more and more recruits to come with them. That's why they felt that they could strike after the Japanese, you know, were defeated. We can't say they were exactly defeated in China, because they felt that, I think here in our country we felt, of course, we were very disappointed in the Marshall Plan, and they also felt there are not many people in the States had a good feeling toward Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek. They felt that he was not using the money for defeating the Japanese, that he was more concerned with the communists. And of course, they were way up north, the communists were. And it seemed that nobody could really touch them.
What did you mean about the Marshall Plan?
Well, it wasn't the Marshall Plan. Oh. I better shut that off a minute. I erase that other thing.
Yeah, but we didn't say it.
Why, well, time doesn't mean anything to them. You know, they feel that, you know, they say, oh my goodness, you come from a country that is so young. You know, our country is young, very young. Their country is, you know, over 5,000 years. And therefore, time means nothing to them.
Do you think that helped the communists then to realize this way?
Oh, yes. It helped the communists. They knew, we have time, we shall wait. See, this Mao Zedong, he came from a farmland, and his father was a farmer. And he could see that he felt that the people who lived in these places, that we were all serfs. And that's when he made up his mind he was going to do something for his country. And he really took on a big job when you think of 500 million people, and he was going to get this across to them. Which, of course, he did pretty well. But some of the people who went along with him went along in fear. Now, the people that got out and built up their own government in Taiwan. Of course, they were people who had money. See, they were very much against capitalism. They thought if anybody had anything, they were capitalists, and that's how they feel about us, you know.
All right, shall we conclude right now? Yeah. Thanks very much.
Well, I can talk with you sometime again.
Listening to this recording, I would like to make a correction. I did say that at the mission, there was Sister Rosario and Sister Mary Mark. And prior to that, you heard me say that Sister Mary Mark had gone to Chenyang. I also made the mistake by saying that mission in Zhejiang, it was not Zhejiang, it was Chenyang. And that is where they took the younger children and the two blind women, because things were getting worse in our part of China. Word came through that they certainly intended to level the city. Therefore, Sister Magdalena, Sister Rosario, and myself, we stayed in Zhejiang. We had planned to live in that little Chinese house that we had for the summer, but it was not convenient. And furthermore, the hospital would be too cold because it was just a little mud hut with a bark roof and a mud floor. Therefore, Father prepared another place, as we told you, and of property and had a hospital. So the three of us moved back to the city. Now, I stayed in the city all day because I worked at the hospital, and the other two sisters, they conducted Rosario and another, and a native teacher conducted a school over in the property we had across the river. And then, of course, the catechumenate was across the river. And the purpose of, when we say across the river, there was a more safety over there than living in the city. However, a sister who has talked with me asked about our life, and when I told her about the sisters, I would like to make a statement about the sisters I live with. We had the sister, there were four very fine sisters, and everybody did as much as they could to advance the Christianity in China. For instance, Sister Mary Mark was most successful with handling these young girls. She just had a knack of doing this, and the girls loved her, and I feel that she left a great impression on them. And also Sister Rosario still had a great love for caring for the people outside, because prior to her going to China, she had a 6 months medical course at St. Joseph's Hospital. Therefore, she knew what to do, and if she ran into any trouble, she would ask either Sister Christina or myself. Now, Sister Christina was our superior, and Sister Christina was a woman who was definitely ahead of her time. She made life so wonderful for us in China. As she would say, life is hard enough here. We're away from all your loved ones, and we rarely saw Western people, only the ones we lived with, like the missionary priests. Sometimes the Protestant missionaries would come to visit us. Therefore, she made our life very wonderful. But we did live within the framework of a religious life. And Sister Magdalena had a great gift for the language. Sister Magdalena was a European. She'd been born in, I think, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia. There was something about these people from Europe that the language came to them a lot easier than it came to us. And she could pick up the New Testament and read it in Chinese as well as I could read it in English. And she was quite successful, although she was a registered nurse. She was very successful in teaching religion. She had the catechumenate. However, she did not want her to give up her work as a nurse, and she too went out and visited the sick. And of course, Sister Christina, who was a registered nurse, she was in the dispensary while we went out to visit the sick, and we had some very, very wonderful experiences. At that time, it was considered, today in our religion, we don't think of a place like limbo, but we had an awful sick feeling when we felt that a child died without baptism. And we have marked up thousands, we baptized while we were there, thousands of babies. The infant mortality was very, very high. A mother would tell us that she had had 10 full 9 months pregnancy, but maybe living, she had only about 2 or 3 children. I'm not sure of any other mistake that was made in all this, but I appreciate the fact that Sister Sally Witt is giving me her time, and that she sits here and talks to me about this. And perhaps if this didn't happen, I would have never recorded. And I always thought that I would get something down in writing, or I would do a few tips, but I never got around to doing it. finished, and I hope that Sister will be back. And there's so many other stories that I would like to tell about the mission. Whether anyone is going to read these tapes or not, at least we have them to record. You know, too, I don't think we mentioned at all, with the first group of sisters, we had to leave the mission and travel overland in the heat of the summer to Chongqing. That one sister gave her life up. She contracted typhus, and she was in a terrible, terrible heat. Her temperature was quite high, and they urged her to take something to drink. She would not drink the water. She was afraid of contamination. But when she got to Chongqing, the Franciscan missionaries of Mary had a hospital there, and that is where the sister stayed. And sister, her name was Clarissa Stadtmittler, and she died that night, and she is buried in Chongqing. Fortunately, our sister Rosario had visited Chongqing on her way to the States when she had to get out of China, and she went out to her grave, thought it would be nice if she would bring a little bit of dirt back to sister's sister. Her natural sister was also a member of our community. Her name was Sister Joanne. But both of them have gone to their eternal reward now. And of our sisters who were in China with me, all of them are dead except Sister Rosario and I. And unfortunately, Sister Rosario is in very, very poor health.
In fact, it has affected her memory, and she is not able to relate any stories to us. And she had certainly a wealth of knowledge. She had a diary which she had started from the time she left Baden until she was ready to leave Zhejiang, and that was 14 years accumulation. But since we were at war, and they didn't know what was going to happen to them, and there wasn't a nice feeling at the time, at that time, the Chinese with us, although we used to be considered their friends, she thought it best to destroy this diary in case something would happen. So sister destroyed her diary, and fortunately she got home safe, but she did have a good memory when she first came home, and she could relate a lot of stories. Sorry she doesn't have them on a tape. And I'm sure we could give the sisters some very, very valuable information about our mission. And that's it. Thank you.